We look this morning as we talk about being on the right side. Amen. Life should not be about getting people to be on your side. Amen. Amen. But it should be about getting you to be on somebody else's side. And people don't like it when people seem to be getting on the wrong side. Amen. Oftentimes our men will say, you're siding with the kids. Amen. You're on the wrong side. Amen. You're supposed to be on my side. Have I got a witness? Amen. We know that that is something that people just don't like it when people don't get on the right side. Yes, sir. And we know that people, pastors don't like it when they counsel people who want them to be on their side. They can come in the office and with an issue, and they want you to side with them, and the other one wants you to side with the other one, them, and we have to quickly let them know there are two sides, your side, their side, and the right side. Amen. Amen. What's right should always prevail. Not only when it comes to parents and people, but when it comes to politics, when it comes, amen, the Dems and the Republicans. Amen. Some are called the left. And others are called, the other side is called the right. Have we got a witness? Amen. And the belief is that the truth is that the Dems sometimes can be wrong and the Republicans can sometimes be wrong. Amen. Amen. And there are times when the Democrats can be right and the Republicans can be wrong. Republicans can be wrong, and some Democrats can be. Amen? But it is at times when some are right and some are wrong cannot be determined by the party who's right and wrong, because sometimes each is wrong. But the right side is the important side. That's the side that you want to get. That's the side you want to find. The right side. Amen. What's right should always prevail. Amen. Amen. Oh, but whether it is parent, people, or parties, we generally want people on our side. But this morning, we need to know that there is a right side and there is a wrong side. It's never good to be on the wrong side. It's never good to side with evil. Amen. It's never good to side with evil. And it's always good to side with right. Never good to side with evil. Always good to side with right. Because right should prevail. But what we find out is that people don't want the right side. They want somebody to be on their side. We want somebody to be on our side. Have we got a witness?
Amen.
We want someone to side with us. And we may be wrong. But oftentimes it doesn't matter if we're wrong. We still want somebody to side with us. Amen. Pray with me. Amen. Amen. We want people to side with us. And when I look at this, what I find out in verse 1 of this chapter, I find out that basically the people, amen, the people, the whole multitude, the Bible says, tried to get Pilate on their side. The whole multitude tried to get Pilate. And according to verse 4, the chief priests were involved in that. They were trying to get Pilate to be on their side. And then we find in verse 7 that they wanted Herod to be on their side. They were trying to get Herod to be on their side. And we find out that Jesus would not even talk to Herod, according to verse 9. Herod was a fox. He knew it. He called him a fox. And Herod was so far gone that all he wanted to do was see, to be entertained. He was not concerned about eternal life. He was not concerned about eternal things. Herod just wanted to be entertained. Show me a miracle, Jesus. Amen. Bible said Jesus wouldn't even respond to him. Have you ever had somebody just... Amen. I mean, there are times in life when you shouldn't respond at all. Have we got a witness? Amen. When you know somebody is insincere and disingenuous, when you know somebody is only want that which is wrong, it's best for you not to even waste your breath responding. Something don't deserve a response. Just the Bible said that Jesus answered him not a word. Didn't even respond to Herod. Have we got a witness? But they wanted Herod on their side. Well, we find out that so they send Jesus back to Pilate, and so now he's back. Pilate, amen, rule over Palestine, and they sent him back to Pilate, and so we find out that Pilate gave in. Pilate gave in. According to verse 23, he gave in. The Bible tells us that the voice of the chief priests prevailed. They wanted Jesus killed. Pilate and Herod knew it was wrong, but because of politics, the voice of the chief priests prevailed. Have we got a witness? That's what the Bible says is what's happened. And Pilate gave sentence that they should be, it should be as they required. Now, he's in charge. He's the leader, but he's going to do what these other people, the chief priests, want done. He said it's going to be as they required. And the Bible says in verse 25 that they released him. According to the end of that verse, they delivered Jesus to their will. Amen. It was not right. Amen. It was wrong, but they delivered Jesus to their will. Amen. And they went and got a black man. Amen. In verse number 26, a man from Cyrene in North Africa. Amen. made history helping Jesus out. Have I got a witness? Yeah, they went and got the black man to bear the cross or carry the cross after Jesus. He carried it behind Jesus. Amen. As they led away, most people think that Jesus just walked up there by himself, but there were three people walking up there, the two thieves and Jesus. They were on their way, and as he carried Jesus' Christ cross, amen, they followed him, a great company of people. And what we find out basically is, according to verse number 32, we find out, amen, that there were two malefactors, as we said, or criminals, or, crooks who were with, led to be with him to be put to death. Amen. And they finally came. When they came to that place, which is called Calvary. Amen. They came to Calvary. Calvary is the Latin for Golgotha. It's the same hill. Golgotha is a skull shape. It was a skull shaped hill, but Calvary is the name for that hill. And it says something very interesting. It says in verse number 33, very interesting to me, it was. It says, there they crucified him and the other lawbreakers, the two thieves, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Amen. One was on the right hand and the other was on the left. Amen. They were carried. Now, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Amen. And what we find out basically is that it's hard to tell who was on the right and on the left. But there they were in Calvary, and amen, you can't tell unless you either are before Jesus or beside Jesus, depending on your location. Depending on what the right or the left really is. But people and the rulers were trying to get Jesus to be on their side. Amen. In verse 37, the soldiers were trying to get Jesus to be on their side. In verse 39, we find out that the thief was trying to get Jesus to be on his side. Everybody wants somebody to be on their side. But nobody wants to be on his side. Amen. You got a whole chapter of people here trying to get Jesus to be on their side. And you find out in verse 38 that they put a superscription. They put a notification over the head. It was written in Greek. It was written in Latin. It was written in Hebrew. Greek was the universal language. Everybody knew that language. It was written in Latin. Latin was represented Rome, the law. It represented language. We find out that it was written in Greek. It was written in Latin. And it was also written in Hebrew. And that was the Jewish language. So anybody coming by, looking at this person on the cross, could see that. Amen. Good, get the message. This is the reason why this criminal is being crucified. He's being crucified simply because he claims to be the king of the Jews. They put the reason why he's being crucified right across the top of his head and put it in everybody's language. So anybody coming through, the thieves would know. Anybody could read it and know clearly what's going on. And why this person is being crucified, and to send a message to Rome that you don't ever cross us because you'll be on the cross. Have we got to? It incited fear into those citizens, and they were knew not to mess with Rome. Amen. It put terror. They terrorized the people. Well, the fact of the matter is that this, we look at this and we find out that the thief, and amen, there was a good thief and a bad thief. Amen. It was a good thief and it was a bad thief. And what we find out, that actually, they were both bad thieves at first. When you look at another account, you don't have to turn there, but Matthew 27:44, you find out that both these thieves railed accusations against Jesus. They both insulted Jesus. Amen. Now, we know that they were on the cross. Amen. From the 6th, according to verse 44, and it's about to almost approach the 6th to the 9th hour, and we know that they were on the cross from 9 a.m., and 6th hour would be noon, and the 9th hour would be 3 p.m., so they had been on the cross from 9 a.m. till almost noon. And so we began to find out that something went on, apparently, in the heart of one of these thieves. Amen. Something went on in the heart of one of these thieves as they were hanging on that cross. Amen. Something went on. Amen. And like I said, we don't know which one was on the right side or which one was on the left side. Amen. But when you look at it, you begin to find out that there's something went on. Something was going on with this thief. And this thief was no doubt watching Jesus, paying attention to Jesus. Amen. He was listening to Jesus. And he, something began to change on the inside of him. This thief. Amen. The thief in verse number 40. We see, we finally get to somebody who wants to be, amen, who wants to get on God's side. Do you want God to get on your side? Or do you want to get on God's side? Amen. In life, we need to make that decision before we live it. Because some people, they can't follow God because they can't follow God for trying to get God to follow them. Amen. They spend their whole life trying to get God to do what they want God to do. Trying to get God to listen to them. Trying to get God to do things their way. Trying to carry out their will and trying to do it their way. And they spend a lifetime of Christianity trying their best to get Jesus to get on their side. Lord, if you just work with me, things would be, oh, let me get on out of here. I'm getting late. Amen. Lord, just go along. I'm not going to hold you. The truth of the matter is that they spend a lot of time and energy trying to persuade God to do things their way. Amen. And, that this good thief does not see things that way. We find out that this good thief, amen, in verse 40, that's the good thief. The bad thief is in verse 39. Matter of fact, I didn't tell you what the bad thief said, did I? Amen. The bad thief said that, he was hanging there. He said he railed on him. He insulted him. He questioned him. He doubted him. If thou be the Christ. Amen. Amen. Save thyself and us. Amen. I think he was more concerned about himself than Jesus. He just wanted somebody to help him. I think he wanted some help himself. If you be the Christ. Amen. He's saying, look, prove to me if you're the Christ, if you'll come down, because you coming down would sure make me happy. Amen. A lot of people ain't interested in making God happy. I'm serious. They're not interested in making God happy. They're interested in God making them happy. Amen. Or you want to make God happy, or do you want God to make you happy? And the nerve of this guy, we find out that he railed on Jesus. Amen. He railed on him. Amen. He insulted him. Amen. If thou be the Christ. But then this other guy, this good thief, we find out that this guy here is, by the way, we all thieves. Oh, no matter how good you are, you still, amen. Ain't nobody perfect. Have I got a witness? Ain't nobody like they ought to be. Amen. You good and bad. I don't care if you are good, you still. He's a thief, but he's a good thief. Amen. But can't nobody point the finger. The other guy just won't get nobody to pay for his sins. But this was the good thief. The good thief made a statement that is very important. He says, amen. I think something happened to this thief. I think as he observed Jesus for those first 3 hours approximately and looked at him and listened to him, amen, he no doubt concluded, this something wrong. He reached over and he told the other guy, he rebuked him. He corrected him. He said, leave Jesus alone. Amen. Amen. That good thief in verse 40 says, he rebuked him. He corrected him. Don't you feel God? Don't you see, man, that we are facing a death sentence? We all in the same condemnation. Don't you know we going to die today? Don't you fear God? There are a whole lot of people don't fear God. Amen. They don't fear God. Amen. And that's where it starts. You got to fear God. When we fear God, that'll straighten us out. But if you put that fear, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And he asked him, man, don't you fear God? What's wrong with you? Amen. Don't you fear God? Amen. And in verse 41, he continues, he says, we deserve to be here. We indeed have been justified, we have received the due to our deeds. Amen. We deserve to be up here, but this man has done nothing. Now, when he said he feared God, that meant he acknowledged that there was a God. Amen. And when he said do you fear God? Amen. He believed in God. And he said that we are the ones that are guilty. That means he confessed. ABC. Amen. That's the ABCs of salvation. Amen. You got to admit, you got to believe, and you got to confess. So here, man, is something has happened to this good thief. He had a heart change. It was not something that was quick. He had a change of heart. But it was something that came slowly, slower and slower and slower. He made a conscious decision. Not out of excitement or emotion. He made a conscious decision. Amen. He didn't even say, come down and get us down. Have we got a witness? He wasn't concerned about his own life. His heart wanted to be on the right side. And he made a conscious decision. Amen. And that's what you got to do. Your heart's got to be right. You can't be wanting God so he can get you down. So God can do something for you, do you a favor. You can't be wanting God. And that's why I said we celebrate our own history. Amen. We celebrate Melissa the other yesterday. But the Bible says that except a grain of wheat fall to the ground and dies, it abides alone. It's a seed. And seeds should be planted. Seeds should be buried, not burned. I think I made somebody mad. But the truth of the matter is that we deposit our bodies because God is waiting. He's coming back to get the body. But one thing that I admire about her is the fact that she was a young lady who made that conscious decision. It was not a quick decision, but around 16, that's when she decided to start her religious history. Have I got a witness? At 16, amen. Amen. When her when she was just fixing to get turned up as a teenager, when she was, amen, just fixing, amen, to get involved in the teen life. Here you have a girl who is, amen, making a conscious decision. And that lets us know that it was not something that was done, amen, out of emotion. And that's the consolation that her parents has. That's the consolation they have. And because of the fact that we know that the decision was made in the heart. And it was not, the choir didn't make her happen. She come down the aisle. There was no emotion or anything. She thought about it. And at a time when teenagers would be leaving the Lord, she decided to take me to the water, and I baptized her right back there. Amen. Have I got a witness? Ain't that good news? History among us, Christian history. Amen. I think about Brother Bernard when he was decided to preach. He decided to do it, and what's interesting is when he decided to do it. When he was in his 20s. Just at the time when people are getting ready to get buck wild. Amen. You can't hardly get nobody to be acknowledged being a Christian or being a pastor or want to be a preacher or be a deacon because they say, I'm not through yet. But to make a decision that young, that says something about, do you know how many people are going to be watching you when you say, I'm called to preach? Have I got a witness? Well, of course, now there must be something deep within you that gives you a conviction that lets you know that this thing must be real. Otherwise, why would young people be giving their life to the Lord at a time when they're just about to get wild? Well, the fact of the matter is that is good news. I don't know about you, but it says something about the genuineness. It makes it credible. Amen. Not doubting others, but that does make a statement when you make a conscious decision to make Jesus your choice. And that means that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, I'm running out of time. The truth of the matter is that what was the results of this personally made decision? Well, we find out, amen, he turned over to Jesus, amen. And he said in verse 42, Lord, remember me. Amen. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Amen. And we all know what happened, don't we? Now, he called him Lord. Have you got a witness? Right there on the cross, he had decided to make him his Lord. He didn't say Jesus. He said Lord. Amen. Amen. Remember me. Just remember me. Amen. You ain't got to get me down from the cross today. I know I'm going to die today. Just remember me. Have I got a witness?
Yeah, yeah.
And Jesus responded. Jesus turned back to him in verse number 43, and he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise.